The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Well, welcome to everyone who is here in person, and welcome to all those who are joining us online. It is good that we are here together, and this is the sixth Sunday after Epiphany. And a fun fact for you all to know, this will be the last Sunday in 154 days that we have green banners. We're preparing to enter Lent and Lent and Easter and then Pentecost. So we'll be enjoy the view of our green banners. We will see them again in 154 days. But it is good that we are all here together, and together we will experience God in word, in sacrament, and in the presence of each other. So let's prepare ourselves now to worship and begin with the words as printed in our bulletin. This is the day the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Please stand if you are able, and if you are not able, know that the community stands with and for you. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who makes all things new, whose mercy endures forever.
Amen.
Trusting in God's mercy, let us confess our sins. Holy One, source of our renewal,
we confess that we are wrapped up in sin and cannot free ourselves. We have not practiced your righteousness. Our hearts have turned away from you.
For the sake of the world you still love, forgive us that we may be reconciled to one another for the glory of your holy name.
Thus says our God, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. God's mercy makes us new. We are forgiven in the name of Christ, our Savior.
Amen.
Because we are weak mortals, we accomplish nothing good without you. Help us to see and understand the things you ought to do.
Give us grace and power to do them. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Now I'd like to invite the children to come forward if you wish to hear a children's message. Welcome, welcome. How's everyone today? Is there anything fun that happens this week coming up? Any holidays that come up today or this week? Yes, Valentine's Day. Valentine's is coming up. And so in honor of Valentine's Day, I have us a heart. I don't need two of them. I only need one. What do we say in Valentine's Day? We say, I love you with all my heart. And what does it mean when we say a heart? Does it mean just one part of me, or does it mean all of me? All of you. It's a heart stands for your all of you, your whole person. And in our reading today, Jesus talks about renewing the whole person. But in life, what happens to our heart? Things happen, we do things, and sometimes our hearts get broken. And sometimes we do things to hurt people, and sometimes people hurt us. And we end up getting broken into lots of little pieces, don't we? But what happens when we take these pieces and we give them up to God? We pray for a new and a whole heart. We ask God to heal and renew us. And what do you think happens? Get a new heart. Now, wasn't that amazing? And magic. And I know some people thought, what, were lethal, not so impressed with that, because what? You think the pieces are in the bag. Well, let us remember that Christ is here, and the gift and the miracle of Christ that God offers us in Christ is hope and healing that we will be renewed. So let us pray together. We'll come together on the count of three with our hands. One, two, three. Repeat after me. Dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for healing.
Thank you for
wholeness.
Thank you for
wholeness. Amen.
Amen.
And now you are excused to Sunday school.
God God is watching.
God is watching.
God is there.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The first reading is from the book of Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter. Hear now the word. Moses said to the people, "See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I am commanding you today, by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways, and observing his commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you do not hear, but are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life, so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him and holding fast to him. For that means life to you and length of days, so that you may live in the land that the Lord swore to give to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob." Holy wisdom. Holy word.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm may be found on page 3 of your bulletin. Please read it responsively with me. Happy are they whose way is blameless, who follow the teaching of the Lord.
Happy are they who observe your decrees and seek you with all their hearts,
who never do any wrong, but always walk in your ways.
You lay down your commandments that we should fully keep them.
Oh, that my ways were made so direct that I might keep your statutes.
That I should not be put to shame when I regard all your commandments.
I will thank you with a true heart when I have learned your righteous judgments.
I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake.
The second reading is from the first book, first letter to the Corinthians, the 3rd chapter. Hear now the word. Brothers and sisters, I could not speak to you as a spiritual people, but rather as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for solid food. Even now, you still are not ready, for you are still of the flesh. For as long as there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving according to human inclinations? For when one says, "I belong to Paul," and another, "I belong to Apollos," are you not merely human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you have come to believe as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. The one who plants and the one who waters have a common purpose, and each will receive wages according to the labor of each. For we are God's servants, working together. You are God's field, God's building. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
According to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
I do invite you, this is a long reading. There's no shame in sitting down at this point if you so choose. Jesus said to his disciples, "You have heard that it was said to those of the ancient time, 'You shall not murder,' and 'Whoever murders shall be liable to judgment. But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say, 'You fool,' you will be liable to the hell of fire. So when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are on the way to court, or your accuser may hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will never get out of there until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery,' but I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one eye. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to go into hell. It was also said, 'Whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce.' But I say to you that anyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of unchastity, causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, 'You shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows you have made to the Lord.' But I say to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it's the throne of God, or by earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let your words be yes and yes, or no and no. Anything else comes from the evil one." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
technical theological term for our lesson today, and that is, oh, this is a doozy. This is a doozy of a text, and don't ask me the definition, the theological definition of a doozy, but there's a lot going on here. And in honor of it being Super Bowl Sunday, I was trying to come up with some football metaphor for it. Something about being fourth down and 20 at the 10. But I couldn't figure out how to make that metaphor work. So there will be no football metaphors today. But we must be careful, though, that we don't fumble this text. These are some difficult texts. I'm not going to get through any of it all at a satisfactory level in a short sermon. And this is where I do unembarrassedly advertise that we have adult form at 9. And we have been actually looking at this text at adult form. So if you want to dive in deeper to the text, you are always invited at 9 o'clock downstairs. There's coffee and tea. So if you want to dive deeper, that is the place. But I will paint a few big things of what we can say beforehand about our text. And that is, we're in the Gospel of Matthew. And Matthew, of all the Gospel, is particularly interested with Jewish interpretation of Jewish law and of the Old Testament. And in Matthew, we see the fulfillment of the promises of the Old Testament. We have Jesus as the new Moses, the person in whom God's rescue plan for the world is coming into completion. Here is Jesus, the new Moses, as he comes up onto the mountain to deliver what is this, our Sermon on the Mount. And I think we are in part supposed to remember Moses on the Mount Sinai. We're supposed to have a bunch of those images in our mind. And this text today comes after our reading from last week. So our lectionary readings, we've had 3 weeks of the Sermon on the Mount. And so we have to enter into that spot. And today's reading specifically, we have issues of the interpretation of the law. And if you can imagine, we have these same debates today, but imagine the law, for example. The law tells us to keep the Sabbath day holy and not to work. But what does that mean? How many miles can you walk on a Sabbath day before it's work? What type of meal can you prepare on a Sabbath day before that is work? See, the law doesn't tell us. And so communities in the days of Jesus and communities today, we debate these sort of things. And the communities in Jesus' day would have debated them a certain way and interpreted these certain ways, and different communities interpret things differently. And before we think we're any different, how many of us have had a debate here or there with somebody about how much water we must use for a baptism? Perhaps we've been in the church council, or we've argued about the type of bread to use in communion. Perhaps we've discussed whether to use red wine or white wine, and perhaps there was a radical in the room suggesting we have non-alcoholic wine. We have these debates today. We're forgetting that the purpose of these instructions, and we focus on the externals. And in Jesus' day, they were doing these same things, focusing on the external without focusing on what it really means. And if we remember our text from last week, we're going to skip a little bit before and after. Last week, Jesus said, whoever breaks one of the least commandments and teaches others to do so will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. And then we'll have this body of instruction, and in weeks to come, this will lead up to Jesus saying, do unto others as you wish they would do unto you. And so these two goalposts, these two end zones, kind of present the interpretive key for what is occurring in our text today. And Jesus is coming to grips, or having his opponents, are those who minimize the law. For those who are teaching others to break one of the least of these commandments. And in a big surprise, it turns out that in the time of Jesus, it was indeed the Pharisees who had the most liberal, lenient interpretation of the law. I know that comes as a shock to us because we're so used to vilifying the Pharisees. But their concern was that everyone can fulfill the law, and so it sort of made the interpretation more lenient. And that is why Jesus last week said, if your righteousness does not exceed the scribes or Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. And so what Jesus has done here in a series of a formulaic expression of, you have heard it said, but I now say, is to intensify the law. Make it more intense, not less. And so it's not enough to just not murder somebody. What's at stake here is not harming someone's soul. Don't insult them. An insult can destroy a reputation, can destroy a life. And to intensify that even more, Jesus says, don't be angry. And the same thing comes with other sins of lust. It's not the external act that matters, that is really at stake here, but the internal part of our heart, that we do not look with lust towards another person. And he also has a series of teachings about oaths. And what really is at stake here is taking the Lord's name in vain and being truthful. This is to swear on something of God, and then to break an oath would be understood to be taking God's name in vain. But oaths also allow us to be untruthful at other times, right? If I only have to be truthful when I take an oath, then if I'm not saying an oath, I can lie. So Jesus attacks all these attempts to minimize what God's requirement is and intensifies this. And so really the question today is what do we do with this intensified law? And one way is our traditional Lutheran way of looking at this text. Is what does the law do? But show us how unworthy we are. I know many of us might be able easily to go through life without murdering somebody. But how many of us can go through life not being angry with somebody? I think I've broken that already twice this day. And so the law sets the standard that we can't keep. We're not capable of keeping it. And so that drives us to look to God for grace and mercy. And we find that in the gospel. A forgiving God who has come to forgive us and to set us free. But that theological framework, I'm not sure is what Jesus is speaking of today. I think what Jesus is offering us is that what really matters are not external things, but the internal disposition of the heart. What matters is that we be transformed. And that, of course, will beg the question of how do we get a transformed heart? How do we get to the point where we can love our neighbor? We can love God. We can have acts of charity where we pour out ourselves for the world. And that, my friends, is not of us to do. That is the work of God to form us into a new community. That is the work of the Holy Spirit who pours out God's life into ours and who makes us into a new creation. And so I have a parting image for you to think about. Later today, we will have the symphony come in and perform for us. And you have all heard the same music produced by two different people. And a question to ask yourself is, what distinguishes a musician from someone who just plays music? Because we've heard the same song played twice by two different people. And we've heard the same song sound okay. And then we encountered that same song played by someone else. And that becomes almost a spiritual experience for us. That song can transform our lives. It can touch us deeply. It's the same song. What is the difference? And of course, there will be many things that will be the same techniques. There'll be some skills. There'll be musical ability. And that may be the law. The law may instruct us somehow on how to be a decent person. But the real change occurs for our musician when they are touched by the music. I've known many musicians who have spoken of an outer body experience when they played music, and it was as if the music was playing them, not them. It doesn't really matter what instrument it was. It could be singing. It could be any instrument. But those moments of transformation is what makes the performance transformative. I propose to you what Jesus is getting at today is that is what is available to us. God is here to pour out into our lives freely the gift of love. And if we encounter God, the one true God, in these moments, we are invited to a world of transformation, a world where the Holy Spirit will be in us, forming us into the body of Christ. And we are all invited encounter God today and every day in word and sacrament, in the face of each other, and to be open to the power of the Spirit, which will transform us into the body of Christ for this world. For that is who you are. You are the one that Christ has came, died for, and rose again, so that we will all be washed clean and new through the grace of God. Amen.
Stay.
Called together to follow Jesus, we pray for the church, the world, and all in need. Inspire your church that it may be a sign of life throughout the world. From the exploration of faith with children and new believers to missionaries and bishops, shape lives of faithfulness so that all may find abundant life in your ways. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Nourish your creation. Accompany all who plant and water. Bless the work of farmers. Provide for subsistence farmers facing drought and climate change. Guide the work of agricultural scientists towards sustainable ways to feed the world. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Give growth where there seems to be no hope for life. In nations and regions where reconciliation seems impossible, empower peacemakers with your spirit. Where death holds sway through violence, disease, and hunger, equip relief workers to bring hope. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Nurture all in need, especially Leif, Aaron, Reg, Mariah, Jane, Kevin, Mike, Jim, Kelly, Joe, Deb, Clifford, Jim, Nicole, Madeline, Ara, Kevin, Kelly, and victims of the war in Ukraine. Bring healing to all who experience trauma caused by systems of injustice and destructive relationships. Give courage to those struggling to repent and those seeking reconciliation. Sustain all who work for restoration. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Encourage this congregation. Call us to a common purpose and keep us from quarreling. Turn our hearts toward you and guide our leaders so that our choices may be life-giving for all. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Thanks be to you for the lives of all who have died in Christ. Teach us to follow them in your ways and gather us with them into the promise of eternal life with you. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
We bring to you our needs and hopes, O God, trusting your wisdom and power revealed in Christ crucified. Amen. Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
Now I invite you to share the peace of Christ with those around you.
thanksgiving.
I invite you all now to stand and come back together as we prepare for the Lord's table. And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." For as often as we eat of this bread and drink from this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Let us proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again.
We give thanks to you, O Lord God Almighty, not as we ought, but as we are able. We ask you mercifully to accept our praise and thanksgiving, and with your word and the Holy Spirit, to bless us, your servants, and these, your own gifts of bread and wine, so that we and all who share in the body and blood of Christ may be filled with heavenly blessings and grace. Come,
Holy Spirit.
Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
You may be seated. These are the gifts of God for the people of God, and all are welcome here to receive these gifts. In a minute, the usher will come forward, and we ask you to form a line and come forward with your arms extended if you wish to receive elements. The elements will be placed in your hands. Come forward with your arms crossed if you wish to receive a blessing. But you are all invited to come, for this is God's body given for you.
Which we want.
and blood of our Lord and Savior. Keep us in grace.
Amen.
Let us pray. Holy One, we thank you for the healing that springs forth abundantly from this table. Renew our strength to do justice, love kindness, and journey humbly with you.
Amen.
I would like to take this moment now for any announcements that are for the good of our community. We've got a microphone.
Reconstruct some of the artwork that was also lost. As you may recall, he's the one who gave us the beautiful cross that's in the narthex. So if you'd like to contribute, we're going to be giving you a Valentine card this week with a certificate for art supplies, and feel free to give your donations to us today. The second thing I'd like to tell you is that, as those of you who were at the annual meeting 3 weeks ago remember, the congregation voted to move forward with the process of considering Pastor John to become not just our bridge pastor, but our full complete pastor. All committee is reconstituted, and we met yesterday and interviewed Pastor John, so you can report more next Sunday.
Thank you, God. Yeah.
Just like to remind everyone, we are going to have a paint party. We're going to be painting the gallery down at the Pacific Maritime Historical Society as an outreach project. We will begin on March the 1st, and we will meet there at the Historical Museum down on the bayfront at 9 o'clock in the morning if you are interested in helping with that.
Are there any more out there?
In the order.
We got one more.
Wanted to remind people that we should probably give a short prayer for those who have gone through the earthquake in South Africa.
Thank you for that, Paul.
Thank you, Paul.
Later today at 2 o'clock, the Newport Symphony will be here in the concert. 2 o'clock here, you're all invited to join. And then quickly coming up, we almost are in the season of Lent. Ash Wednesday will be the 22nd, and we will have services at noon and at 7. And then after that, we are returning, or you will be returning, to an old tradition of soup and bread before Holden evening. The soup and bread at 6 on Wednesday, followed by Holden evening prayer at 7. So we need volunteers who are willing to make soup and cook bread, and we have that sign-in sheet on the other side of our little kitchen out there. Let us now prepare ourselves for the benediction. The God who faithfully brings forth justice and breaks the oppressor's rod, bless, strengthen, and uphold you today and always.
Amen. Accept the burden of our sin.
Peace, serve the Lord.